Thank you. This is our 8th broadcast in our present series on the Arab states in prophecy. We've talked about the root of the conflict and how it has begun with two key individuals of the Old Testament, and these two key individuals are Ishmael and Esau. We also pointed out, secondly, that since those two men have died, there's been this perpetual animosity of the Arab peoples against the Jewish people, an animosity that has continued to the present time and will reach its greatest extent in the course of the Great Tribulation. And then we began dealing, thirdly, with the future of the individual Arab states, and we're pointing out that peace will come between Israel and the various Arab states in one of three ways: either by means of occupation, or by means of destruction, or by means of conversion. And so far we have talked about two of the Arab states around Israel, and that was Lebanon and Jordan. Peace will come between Israel and Lebanon by means of occupation. Peace will come between Israel and the three parts of Jordan by means of destruction, but not all the same degree of destruction. Peace will come between Israel and southern Jordan, which is ancient Edom, by means of a destruction that will be total, so that there will be no descendants of Esau in the kingdom, and there will be no nation of Edom in the kingdom either. Peace will also come between Israel and central Jordan, or ancient Moab, also by means of destruction, but a partial destruction, and there will be a nation called Moab in the millennial kingdom, subservient to Israel. And finally, peace will come between Israel and northern Jordan, or ancient Ammon, also by means of destruction. It will be partial, but again, there will also be a nation called Ammon, the sons of Ammon, in the millennial kingdom, also subservient to Israel. Let's move on to a third Arab state, and that is the land of Egypt. And peace will come between Israel and Egypt, initially by means of destruction, but later by means of conversion. A very comprehensive story of Egypt's future, a very comprehensive detailing of Egypt and prophecy, is given in Isaiah chapter 19, verses 1 through 22. Now, in verses 1 through 10 of Isaiah 19, Isaiah the prophet described the punishment of Egypt because of the sins of Egypt. And he says that Egypt will be characterized by civil war, by desolation, and by famine, so that the entire economic system of Egypt collapses. In verses 11 through 15, the prophet went on to state that the root cause of Egypt's devastation is her leaders, who have led Egypt astray. And certainly, in our more modern history, under the dictatorships of King Farouk, Abdul Nasser, and Sadat, Egypt went to war against Israel on four occasions, resulting in some very heavy losses for Egypt and wrecking the Egyptian economy. And so verses 11 through 15, the emphasis is that the fault lies with the leadership of Egypt. Yet out of all this, there develops a fear in Egypt of Israel. And that's what's found in Isaiah chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. In that day shall the Egyptians be like unto women, and they shall tremble and fear because of the shaking of the hand of Jehovah of hosts, which he shaketh over them. And the land of Judah shall become a terror unto Egypt. Every one to whom mention is made thereof shall be afraid because of the purpose of Jehovah of hosts, which he purposed against it. Basically, the conversion of Egypt will come in three basic stages, and here we have the first stage, where Egypt develops a fear of Israel. Now, never in ancient history has this been true. The Egyptian forces were able to pass through the land of Israel freely and with impunity, even the days of Solomon. Only since 1948, and especially since the Six-Day War, have the Egyptian forces evidenced this fear portrayed in this passage. There's been a fear and a dread in Egypt of Israel ever since that time. And Egypt, having lost four wars against Israel with heavy casualties, the fear is deeply rooted. There is no doubt that a large measure of Sadat's peace efforts and the peace treaty between Israel and Egypt at the present time, and Mubarak's emphasis to maintain that particular treaty, is largely due to this fear that they developed of the nation of Israel. And we can clearly say that prophetically, we are still in the period of stage 1, the stage of Isaiah chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. But eventually, peace will come between Israel and Egypt. And this peace will not come by means of fears or peace treaties as we see them now. Rather, it's going to be a second stage in the movement towards Egypt's conversion, and that second stage is given to us in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 18. In that day there shall be five cities in the land of Egypt that speak the language of Canaan, and swear to Jehovah of hosts, and one shall be called the city of destruction, or perhaps better, the city of Heliopolis. In the second stage, there will eventually be five settlements or cities within the borders of Egypt that will be speaking Hebrew. We do not yet see this particular thing occurring. That is yet future. Now, when Isaiah says the land of Canaan, in Isaiah's day, the land of Canaan was the Hebrew language. And so it would appear from this verse that these five cities speaking Hebrew will be Jewish populated cities. And exactly how this prophecy, the second stage of the final peace between Israel and Egypt, is to occur remains to be seen. But then comes the third stage. And the third stage is recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 19, verses 19 through 22. In that day shall there be an altar to Jehovah in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to Jehovah. It shall be for a sign and for a witness unto Jehovah of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto Jehovah because of oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a Defender, and he will deliver them. And Jehovah shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. Yea, they shall worship with sacrifice and oblation, and shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and shall perform it. And Jehovah will smite Egypt, smiting and healing, and they shall return unto Jehovah, and he will be entreated of them, and he will heal them. In the third stage, the picture is that Egypt is to fall under a cruel dictatorship. In the course of suffering under this cruel dictatorship, the Egyptian population will turn away from the worship of Allah and Muhammad and turn to the God of Israel and look to Jesus the Messiah. So in these verses, we read of an altar to the God of Israel being built in Egypt as both a sign and a witness of the power of God of Israel to save the land of Egypt. Because the land of Egypt will be oppressed by the forces of the Antichrist and his cohorts, something also mentioned in Daniel chapter 11, verses 42 and 43. But God will save Egypt from the domination of those oppressors. And then the Egyptians will realize that Allah, the Muslim God, cannot save them, but only Jehovah, the God of Israel. And this will lead to a national conversion of Egypt. Egypt shall know the Lord, verse 21 says, and Egypt will worship the God of Israel with oblations and sacrifices and vows. The same God who brought about their destruction in verses 1 through 15 will also bring about their regeneration and their healing when they turn in faith to God. So in conjunction with the latter days of the tribulation and the campaign of Armageddon, there will be a national conversion of Egypt. And in this way, they will take their place in the ranks of the sheep Gentiles, mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And it should also be noted carefully that Egypt will be one of the nations that will move against the Antichrist that we read about in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40. Nevertheless, because of Egypt's long-standing of hatred of Israel, and in the outworking of the cursing principle of the Abrahamic covenant, an aspect that we've dealt with previously on these broadcasts, Egypt will suffer a desolation that will be similar to that of Edom, but not to the same degree. For instance, in Joel chapter 3, verse 19, we read these words, Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. As far as Egypt, Joel says Egypt is to be a desolation. As far as Edom, Edom is to be a desolate wilderness. And Joel clearly points out then that the future of Edom or southern Jordan is worse than the future of Egypt. Because as we already noted earlier in these studies, in the case of the Edomites, we're dealing with a total destruction. But we are told by Joel that even after the conversion of the Egyptians, Egypt is to suffer a period of desolation. Now, exactly what Joel means here, we'll be dealing with on our next broadcast, because our time is up for now, and there is yet more to be said about the future of Egypt. So until the next time, we bid you shalom.